There. All right. Instead of toward the mic cord, away from the mic cord. All right. Good. Well, I won't have to scream then. Forgive me because I'm under the influence of medicine a little bit. I had a little procedure done the first part of last week, and the Lord's kind of pulled the props out from underneath me for the last week or so. But I think certainly His word will be honored this morning as we share together. I've been studying the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and now I've spilled over into Mark. So the message is coming out of Mark, the second chapter this morning, beginning there in verse 1 of the text. I'm so thankful that you've called a pastor. Brother Gary said that you were without a pastor and have some supplies coming in once in a while, and so I found out this morning that you've called Brother Isaac. And so I'll be praying for you specifically about that. I always like to put down on my personal prayer notes congregations that I've come to know and had an opportunity to minister to through the years, and that list continues to grow. If you'd like to stand for the honor of God's word, if you're able to this morning, I'll be reading from the NIV version of the scriptures this morning as we share together these precious words. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority over sin on this earth to forgive." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Thank you for honoring God's word this morning. You've already heard a little bit about the history between Gary and I as he served as minister of music there at my home church, First Baptist Church of Centralia. My brother still lives in the community with his wife and numbers of his kids around. And recently we've moved our mother, who's 93 years of age, will be 94 come December the 24th, the Lord willing. And she's in Columbia now in a high-rise facility. I talk with her about every day, if not every day, every other day. And she's got a form of dementia now. I appreciate your personal prayers, if you would remember her and put her on your prayer list as well, too. Gary and I were talking a little bit about that and his family circumstances as well right now. And so that's a trying time. But she's there and doing well physically, just has those mental lapses. But Gary served prior to my brother as well, too, and after my brother. Actually, he's still the interim music minister. Yeah. For a long, 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 long time now at First Baptist Church of Centralia. And we saw he and Sandra just recently and really enjoy that. I'm the oldest of a three-boy family. And so some of you that have siblings that are men, you understand the depth. Well, that's probably why my mom was losing her mind, because she raised three boys. But it was a wonderful life there in Centralia. I was born in Macon and went through high school there in Centralia. And I'll not get into a lot more history than that. Last time I remember encountering Gary was when we were singing with the Missouri Music Men right here in town, actually, at First Baptist Church here in Bethany. And that was always an enjoyable time. I still enjoy doing that. When I first started in full-time ministry, I was minister of music and youth at First Baptist Church of Branson with Brother Jay Scribner. He and I are still close friends and enjoy our time in Canada as well as some other things that we do together. And so I want you to know that I came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of my life at First Baptist Church of Centralia. My mom was singing in the choir. This was well prior to the time that Gary came to that particular congregation. And it was the Lord's Supper. And so after the choir did their part, they came out into the congregation and sat in the congregation. And I was about two-thirds of the way back in the middle aisle. My mom and I were there sitting together. And I was a little slow on the uptake at times. And so when the unleavened bread came by, I said, "Mama, when can I do this?" And she said, "Well, Rodney, when you become a Christian. And if you want to talk about that, we'll talk about that when we get home." I said, "Okay." So then the fruit of the vine, the grape juice and the little tumblers came by, and I said, "Once again, Mama, when can I do this?" And she said, "Well, Rodney, when you become a Christian. If you want to talk about this, we'll talk about it when we get home." Well, it was that following Saturday that she said, "I think it would be good if you are serious about this for us to go down to the church, make an appointment with the pastor, and talk with him," which we did. Brother Elwood Kelly, who used to be a part of the Missouri Baptist Convention years and years ago, led me to the Lord and said, "Rodney, if you're serious about this, next time you're in a worship service, at the end of the service, just like this morning, when the preacher's done, he stands down to the front. If you want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life, step right out in the aisle and walk down to the front. I'll be there to greet you." I don't know what Brother Kelly was talking about that day, but from beginning to the end of that service, I was thinking, am I going to step out into that aisle? Am I going to make Jesus a part of my life? I was about in the same location that I mentioned to you earlier. I had a buddy on one side and a buddy on the other side. Invitational song, we all stood to sing, and my mom was in the choir once again. And next thing I knew, I was out in the middle of the aisle, walking down to the front. My mom had a traditional choir robe on at that time, and she slipped off to the side and met me right there with the preacher, right down to the front. She was crying, I thought. As a young child, I mean, why is my mama crying? Well, I've seen three of mine come to know Jesus as their Savior, and I guarantee you, there's tears in your eyes when you know your own flesh and blood has just recognized and realized that they're a sinner in need of Christ as Savior, and they walk the aisle to confess it among everybody that's there. Jesus is a Savior and the Lord of my life. Shortly after that time, I was baptized there at First Baptist Church of Centralia. Grew up as a teenager. Didn't always live like I should for the Lord as a teenager. But I recommitted myself to the Lord Jesus at the age of 21 after Geneva and I, my wife Geneva, and I were married. And since that time, God has blessed us with three wonderful children. Three married children now, and their spouses are believers in the Lord Jesus. And we're expecting number 14 grandchild here in March. God only knows, excuse me, God only knows what He's doing. We really didn't expect to have any children. And He's blessed us with three wonderful children. They're all saved, as I mentioned to you. And about four or five of those are saved. Some of those still need to walk that aisle and make it public. And we're praying every day for all of those that would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where this text is this morning. These four friends had compassion for this paralytic man on his mat. He had no way physically to get to Jesus' feet. I mean, even if he could have got to that house there in Capernaum, he had no way that he was going to get to the feet of Jesus because the house was packed full of individuals that were there on that occasion. So here's the main question for the morning. What are we known for once we encounter Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? I've been in your football stadium as a Wolverine supporter from Maysville. Matter of fact, if memory serves me correctly, years ago you had a Wolverine as one of your coaches for a while. He moved on. He's back in Maysville as far as I know now. I've been in the old Kentucky Fried Chicken taco place. I understand it's coming back as tacos. I've been in McDonald's. If I would float around in your community and ask somebody, who is Deb? What's she stand for? Tell me something about her. What would they say? If I went into the community and asked about you, what would they say about you? Or even more specifically this morning, what would they say about Emmanuel Baptist Church that sits out here on this beautiful location? You know, Geneva and I are floating around from congregation to congregation right now since about, March, middle of March, since we retired and moved back to Maysville. When I came in here this morning, I would give you a B plus, because I don't hand out A's. There's a spirit in this congregation, and I appreciate it. And you're in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the challenge that God has laid upon my heart to present to myself as well as to you this morning. Recognizing our encounter with Jesus Christ and his power and his authority, what would people say about you and I or this congregation? What would they say around town? The scripture says Jesus saw their faith. If you look into former passages as well as some other passages of healing, we find out that Jesus does not always acknowledge faith and heal individuals. He didn't do it for Paul. He basically said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient to meet your needs." But on this occasion, Jesus saw their faith. Now, keep in mind, these men had brought this man on a pallet. Years and years ago, when I was in Centralia growing up, I went through Cub Scouts, I went through Boy Scouts. I'm still thankful that I have learned what I learned through the Boy Scout system. I'm not thankful for Boy Scouts any longer. They've gone the wrong direction as far as I'm concerned. And just recently, you've probably seen it on your television as well, too. There's all kinds of lawsuits, bankruptcy, and all that kind of stuff going on. But when I was learning all of those things, one of the things that they taught us in first aid was how to make a pallet. Take two poles, take a big bed sheet, and you wrap it around certain ways, and you lay on that, and four guys can grab the four corners of those poles and lift that person up. Well, it's something similar to that we have here before us this morning. I don't know if they had poles or not. The scripture doesn't say about that. But every one of them, those four men, took a corner of something, and they picked that man up from where he was lying at his home, and they had enough concern, and they had enough faith in Jesus and what he could do that they went to the extraordinary effort. Can you imagine this? To crawl up on top of a house and begin to tear the roof back so that they could lower their friend down into the very presence of Jesus Christ. He looked at that man there at his feet, Jesus did. And he looked up at the four guys that were peering through that hole in that roof. And the scripture says, because of their faith, son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. What are you known for in this community? Your faith? Your relationship in Jesus Christ? Do you have a testimony that you could tell in 90 seconds and then talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and share with somebody how they could come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of their life? I think that's one of Brother Isaac's desires before he comes your pastor, that you are a solid believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would join him. And just as a parenthesis, that you would recognize that he has spiritual gifts, just like you have spiritual gifts, and you're going to give him permission to be your pastor, but to exercise his gifts, not try to pour him into a mold of somebody else in the past, or your expectations of who you think Brother Isaac ought to be. But you give him permission to exercise his gifts like he would challenge you, I know he will as a man of God, to use your spiritual gifts as well too. Now, I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I have the role of evangelism. It's my responsibility as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not because I'm a preacher of the gospel, but because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, to be prepared to share the good news with anybody that I encounter. Anybody that I encounter. So these four fellows brought their paralytic friend and placed him at the feet of Jesus. Let me ask you this question this morning. How many of your friends, how many of your friends have heard Jesus say to them, because of your influence, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven? Can you imagine the joy that filled the hearts and the minds of those four guys up on that rooftop when Jesus looked at their friend and said, son, your sins are forgiven? Talk about a revival that took place on the top of a house in Capernaum. Are you rejoicing this morning because of the influence that you've had on others as well too, to come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of your life? And Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven because of the efforts of your friends on that rooftop. Are you willing to take a risk? The last time you witnessed to somebody, what was the first thing that grabbed your heart? It might not have even been compassion and concern for that person. It was the Holy Spirit said, Rodney, you need to say something about me to that person. And the devil said, oh, you don't have the ability to do that. That fear that gripped your heart. But once you said that first word, it's like that all went away and the Holy Spirit just flowed out of your mouth. Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever had that experience? Can you say today that you were influential in leading your friend to Jesus Christ? Sharing your faith. Bringing that person to the feet of Jesus. I want us to notice the second thing about this particular passage. As the crowd had pressed into that particular house there, as they had kind of brushed off all the dust and all the other stuff that had fallen from that roof as those men were tearing that roof back, and so as they kind of gathered their thoughts, there's a significant passage in here that says, not everybody had the faith of those four men that were on the roof. What's the scripture say? This particular passage in Mark says, the teachers of the law. If you look into Matthew or Luke, it also alludes to the fact that there were some Pharisees there as well too. And what were they thinking? They weren't saying anything. The scripture says they were thinking this in their hearts, in their mind. See, that's where the devil first attacks us, is within our mind, well before we say anything or do anything. He's already got the victory if he wins it in your mind, and then you carry it out in your actions. That's what sin is. I've learned that if I'm going to be the believer in the Lord Jesus that I need to be, I need to stop it before it's out here. I need to stop it when it gets started in here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. That's a psalm that I quote oftentimes, and sometimes I've got to quote it three or four times before Satan finally realizes he's not going to give in this time, and he leaves me. He leaves me. It could be something that comes on the television. It could be somebody that's out on Interstate 35 that does something that they shouldn't have done, that I get upset about, and I've got to think positive thoughts. I've got to honor Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to allow him to be the Lord and the master of my life. And so there were some folks in this particular room here, And not all of them had the faith of those four that are up on the rooftop. Teachers of the law and the Pharisees, as I've mentioned, what did they say? Blasphemer. They were thinking that within their heart. This man does not have the power nor the authority to heal and forgive someone of their sins. Only God can do that. That's what the scripture says. He cannot forgive sin. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. And he did. And if you don't believe it, in essence, Jesus was saying, watch this. Now, which is easier, for me to say your sins are forgiven, or for me to say to this paralytic man, rise up, take up your mat, and go on home rejoicing? So that you know, Jesus says, that I have the power to forgive sin, I'm going to heal this man physically. And that's what he said to him. Rise up, take up your mat, and go home in victory. Go home in victory. Let's think about that just for a few moments. Where are you, my friend, right here this morning? Are you up on the rooftop full of faith? Are you down in the crowd like the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, still kind of questioning the power of Jesus, still kind of questioning his authority? Or maybe you're down on the floor where that man was, needing to be forgiven of your sins. If you're old enough here this morning to understand what I'm saying, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of your life, my dear friend, that's where you are. You're on the floor. As an old Imperial song says, I'm down at the bottom of the well looking up, and I'm looking into Jesus' face. I hope that you'll look into Jesus' face this morning, and I hope and recognize that you would come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of your life, because you need to be forgiven. But don't miss this. Verse 8, it says, immediately, Jesus knew their heart, what they were thinking. You think he doesn't know your heart this morning? You think he doesn't know where your mind is this instantaneous moment? You're either in tune with what I'm preaching out of the scriptures, or you're thinking about something else. The roast that's in the oven. Where you're going to have lunch. Is it going to be a good sermon because it's going to be short? Did you see that this morning? I did. The first thing I noticed when I pulled in your parking lot. Well, I hope it's good, but I don't know that it's going to be short. But we're going to get through it. But Jesus knows your heart right now. He knew the heart of those on the roof. He knew the heart of those that were calling him a blasphemer. And he knew that this man was not physically ill because of his sins, but because his sins had never been forgiven, he needed Jesus as his Savior. And he reached down and told him to rise and go home in victory. My dear friends, that's true right now, that Jesus knows what you're thinking, every one of us. And when Jesus demonstrated his authority and his power in your life and forgave you of your sins, the big question this morning is, what am I doing with that today? Not when I was saved at First Baptist Church of Centralia years ago. Not when I was in college and we lived at Colonel's Trailer Court there north of Columbia, when I was going to the University of Missouri and getting a B.S. in civil engineering. Can you imagine that, a preacher with B.S. in civil engineering? But God knew what he was doing. And he still knows what he's doing today, this instantaneous moment. You see, when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw people in Capernaum. He will draw people in Bethany to his feet. And you and I are the instruments to do that for him. We are partners with him to bring those lost to Jesus Christ under his authority and under his power. that they too might recognize and realize that Jesus is a Savior and the Lord of their lives and desires to be that for them as well too. Here's my last point. Verse 12. What's it say there in that last part? Many of those in the crowd said, "We have never seen anything like this." I want to add, before. Jesus was in their presence. The power of God was demonstrated through his life into this man's life as he looked at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven, and rise up, take up your mat, and walk and go home," a whole man spiritually as well as physically. And the scripture says, "And the house was filled with praise because of Jesus' authority and his power, as it was recognized by all of those that were there that chose to recognize who Jesus truly was." Is that what people of this community recognize to be happening here at Emmanuel Baptist Church? Praising God and thanking him for what he's doing in my life and your life and what he's doing in the life of our community as we reach out in the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus, folks, is lifted up, he will draw all people into himself. That's a promise. We sang that song. Yes to the promises. That's a promise that he's given us. When we lift him up, when you lift him up in this congregation, when you stop doubting, when you moment by moment, day by day, confess your sins. You know what sends anybody to hell? It's not the sins of smoking and drinking and running around and carousing around and all the other things that we can think of. I believe the Bible teaches it's a sin of rejection. If you've never accepted me, Jesus says, you've already rejected me. So we have to deal with that sin of rejection. And then once we deal with that sin of rejection, he will help us to take care of all that other stuff. And he'll cleanse our life. And that's what he did to this man that was lying before him at his feet on this occasion. So confess your sins on the basis of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Claim that promise. Say yes to that promise and hold on to it. And then lastly, when you ask him by faith to come into your heart and into your life, he'll do it, my friend. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of your life, all you need to do is say, like I did as a young child, "Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner in need of you as my Savior. And right now, by faith, I ask you to come into my heart and into my life, because I know that you died for me on the cross." And I guarantee you, folks, instantaneously he will do that. And you'll become a child of God. Then you can walk this aisle and you can tell a deacon or you can tell your new pastor, "I know Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of my life." If you're not willing to confess me before men, then why should I confess you before my Father, which is in heaven? That's why you ought to be walking an aisle in a Baptist church. Confessing Jesus as the Savior and the Lord of your life. When we do these things, folks, we will rise up, we will be healed of our dilemmas, and we will go home victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ through his name and through his power and through his authority. That's my prayer for you, my dear friend, this morning. That you would walk out of this building knowing that you have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life because you're a believer and you desire for him to be the Lord and the master and the boss of your life. And that will continue to be our prayer, Geneva, and my prayer for you as a congregation, that you would continue to become the lighthouse within this community that God has called you to be alongside the new pastor that you've already called. Might it be to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Knowing him in your heart, if you don't know him today, As I stand out of the front, Brother Gary joins me. You come and accept Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord of your life today. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to just look into your word this morning, to pull out just one of those episodes in your life, Lord, that you looked into the faith of those that brought their friend to your feet. And you acknowledged that by looking into the face of their friend and saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Not only that, but you healed his physical body. I don't know the heart of those that are here this morning, but as your word has demonstrated to us this morning, you do. You know where every person stands that's here this morning, old enough to understand. And I pray that they might act upon that by the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. If they don't know Jesus, I pray that they'll step out into that aisle, walk down to the front, and tell myself or Brother Gary, "I want to know Jesus as my Savior." If there's a recommitment that needs to be made this morning, a rededication of life, or maybe someone that has never made that public decision that they've made privately within their hearts already, that they would follow Christ in believer's baptism, demonstrating to this congregation that they know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and have your way in every heart and in every life this morning. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, and amen. Let's stand, and sister.